Thor, The Dark World. Hollywood has its own version of the Asgardian Convergence. Every so often, the availability of A-list actors aligns with a confused script, $200 million, and a green light, resulting in a blockbuster motion picture. This magical event opens up portals at movie theaters all over the world, and huge amounts of money are sucked into the studio coffers. Still, when you get right down to it, if you've seen one convergence, you've pretty much seen them all.
After all this time, now you come to visit me, brother. Why? To mock.
I need your help. But I wish I could trust you.
If you did, you'd be the fool I always took you for.
Some believe that before the universe, there was nothing. They're wrong. There was darkness, and it has survived.
What's going to happen?
I gave you my word. I would return for you.
Thor, The Dark World. When inspecting an abandoned factory where strange, unexpected anomalies are occurring, Jane Foster is transported to another world where she is infected by an ancient weapon known as the Aether. The dark elf Malekith is willing to destroy Asgard and everyone in it to possess this power, and he plans to use it to wipe out all nine realms when they line up in an ultra-rare celestial occurrence known as the Convergence. Only Thor can hope to stop Malekith, and there is only one way for him to save Jane Foster, Asgard, Earth, and the Nine Realms. Thor must team up with his longtime nemesis and treacherous brother, Loki.
I kind of thought this movie was a little too cartoonish, which sounds kind of weird because it's a comic book adaptation, but just the set direction, everything kind of looked kind of phony. Underacted more than anything, I think. Not necessarily overacted. I wanted more overaction, but less cartooniness. My one huge problem with it was this is one of Earth's heroes, and 80% of the action takes place on his home planet or on one of the other eight realms besides Earth. I just had a huge problem with the fact that he wasn't on Earth enough. But I will say this, I think Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, I thought was excellent. I think he outacted even Anthony Hopkins, you know, Thor, Natalie Portman.
Oh, I think he was easily the best thing in it.
But other than that, I really didn't like this film at all.
This is upsetting to me. One of my favorites was Thor. Such an oddball, out there superhero character. He was fascinating because it was a combination of mythology and superheroics. The good things about the first movie, and you can't say that it's about a lot of superhero movies, is he didn't have an origin story because he was already a god, so we didn't have to see how he became one. So basically it jumped right into the actual story.
One of the things that didn't work for me about the first one was, even compared to this Asgard, that Asgard was like all complete shiny steel stuff. It was more like Mount Olympus than Asgard, and the take on the characters was more like kind of an English take, and again more like a distant kind of Olympus kind of feeling to it. And what I liked about this one was, even though it's still overly shiny and everything, there was a sense of wooden structures, stone structures. I got a little more feeling for Asgard. Early on, at least, there was a little more carousing in terms of trying to capture the feeling of those kind of characters.
So I was looking forward to this. I just thought, at worst, it'll be silly, goofy, entertaining. What I didn't expect was just sheer boredom and annoyance. It was just so over the top. There was not a breather in the whole thing where we could just hang around and catch our breath. The best part of the movie were tiny little glimpses of Thor and his friends, the Warriors Three and Sif on Asgard. They were always kind of like Three Musketeers type characters, which were great in the comic, and given the chance would be the most entertaining part of the film too. The Dark Elves, we begin the by now obligatory past battle. Oh, there was a major battle. And, you know, it's a cliche by this time. Odin's father is the head of Asgard forces. That's how long ago it was. The Dark Elf is played by one of the Doctor Who's, is a great actor, but you don't really know it because he's speaking some weird alien language. So we got to do the subtitles. Why? I don't know. Because the people of Asgard, I guess they speak English, right? You know, not only did we see the preamble, which is the battle between Asgard and the elves, then Odin tells it, you know, years ago, the elves. I'm going, we saw it. We just shut up. It's unbelievable.
For me, just story-wise, if it has a main problem, it, like you said, and Steve kind of said too, and this hit me immediately, there's just no sense of pacing at all. It's just big scene, big scene, big scene, big scene, big scene. There are no little scenes. But at some point, enough of the stuff that was coming was working that I wasn't too bad. For the brief time that his buddies are on the film, they are good. And then they did have things like when Thor's mom dies, they give her a Viking funeral. I thought that was nicely done. But again, the problem is the film won't take the few moments of nothing happening, of quiet time, or just a character actually reacting to what's happening, to, instead of just having that be a nice visual moment, to have it be an emotional moment. And then there were other things that did annoy me, like when there's a whole complicated escape from Asgard that Thor and Loki have to pull off, and there's like this dogfight between, I don't know, these Asgard boats and the elf ships and things, and stuff like that didn't work for me.
I mean, the elves attack Asgard. That's a big scene. There's some good bit with Heimdall, the guardian at the Rainbow Bridge. The ship lands right in the middle of Asgard. They're waiting for the elves to emerge from the ship, but the Asgardians have swords. The elves emerge from the ship and they have ray guns, and it just starts zapping all the Asgardians. So I turn to my friend Dave and I go, never bring a sword to a gunfight. Anyway, they all get wiped to shred.
But like all these films, it's hard to even criticize them anymore because they always have more story, more payoff. I guess the humor at the end didn't work for you, but it was the only thing that got me through the big final battle scene, because I was going, oh my god, I gotta sit through another city destroying final battle scene. And at least because it was injected with some kind of weird humor and people popping up in the wrong places and stuff, that actually made it possible for me to get through the end.
I was talking about Jane Foster's sidekick. She's a sitcom actress, but she's just awful. But it, not so much her fault. It seems like she could maybe be funny, but she's not. The lines are bad.
One of the reasons the ending is such a muddle is they have these pole-like devices that reverse polarity or do something. We're never clear what they do, and you have to set them in the right place, and finally they get them to work. But again, since you're so unclear on what's happening, all I can really do is wait for Thor to show up in a subway station and take the train back to where he has to be, and there's a nice moment where things are levitating, and the intern of the annoying girl takes a car and slams it on a creature. And so for me, all those kind of moments were working in the end.
The last 20 minutes of the movie, I thought, was the best part. And at the end, it's Thor being a superhero also.
That's what I was waiting for the whole movie. I mean, you know, the movie's interjected with little humorous pockets, like you say, like him hanging his hammer on a coat hanger.
Yeah.
I mean, but that doesn't really lead to anything. It's just humorous. It wasn't enough to keep my interest, you know?
No, I think Loki's a great character. I think the actor's terrific, and I think Loki is great. So Thor and Loki go on an adventure to battle Malekith the Elf. And then, of course, Loki betrays him. Now, I know that it's a trick, but it's a good scene. But then it cheats because the villain has this henchman creature, Hulk thing, and it's beating up on Thor, and then Loki kills it, but in so doing it kills Loki. You know, after it's all solved, because Thor had gone against Odin, he has to go back to face his punishment, and then Odin says, no, you did the right thing, I was wrong, which is a good scene. It's a good scene by Hopkins, finally his one decent scene as Odin. And then Thor leaves, Odin turns to Loki, who we thought was dead. If it hadn't been Loki, that is a real moment. Thor, he's gonna be king of Asgard, and he says that would be pointless. I'm much more useful flying around saving people. And then of course it's Loki, which doesn't make any sense, because you can't have him in that spot, because that was a necessary scene between Odin and Thor. They had to do something else to bring Loki back, and that was just all wrong.
At least I set up the third one for it taking place on Earth,
maybe.
Now, well, he's here permanently. Yeah, now, so know, you know. Yeah.
So there is that,
there is that. So now at least he'll be an Earth hero, not an Asgardian.
Yeah, so I didn't like it, but I had moments that were probably enough to get me through to the end.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all, period. I can hardly wait for the next Avengers,
I was annoyed and bored by all the usual destruction. Superman was bad for the same reason.
Well, I mean, at this point, and after Avengers and Super, I mean, there has to be a way to end one of these movies that doesn't end up destroying a city. There's got to be something else to do.
Sadly, I can't recommend Thor, and I think Thor has a lot of potential as a character in a franchise. I just think they have to mix it up better and make it good.